Tonight, friends, we're considering the third commandment, which goes like this. If you recall, Exodus 20, verse 7, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Our reading will be from James chapter 3, where we are taught about the way we use our tongues, our language, how we speak. Tonight, we especially want to think about how we use God's holy name. And so the sermon title, Using God's Holy Name. Let's turn now to His holy and living word and give our full attention to this passage, starting in James 3, verse 1. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile, sea creature can be tamed, has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." The word of God from James 3. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, we do not think much about personal names. Every once in a while you might hear a very peculiar name and you have to ask, what did you say? Where did that come from? Can you explain what that might mean? So forth. But usually you hear somebody's personal name, you just don't think anything about it. You don't think about how you use their names, and you don't think probably about how they use your name. Personal names are typically viewed as little more than tools, sounds that we make with our mouths, little symbols we scribble down on paper so that we can identify this person or that person, so that we can communicate with this or that person, what have you. Your name might actually mean something, and you may or may not live up to that meaning. You probably rarely think about such things, much less require other people to think carefully about your name and how they use your name and what it means and how it represents you personally. And that is because your name is not holy. It is exactly the opposite with God's name. He calls us to think very carefully about His name, to be very careful in our use of His name, because it is not a mere tool. His name is inextricably connected to who God is. It is a holy name because He is a holy God. The third commandment is really about how we use God's holy name. And it brings us now to our theme, friends, our theme for tonight. We must use and carry God's holy name with reverence and awe. We must use and carry God's holy name with reverence and awe. What does holy mean? You might immediately think of God's purity, righteousness when you hear the word holy. You might think of His majesty and glory. And that would all be very good, totally appropriate. But for something to be holy, now we're getting into the etymology of the word, okay? Holy is a word you would use for something that has the characteristic of being set apart, separate. Now, dear saints, holy ones, that's what saint means after all. We can be, in spite of all of our sin, we can be called holy because God claims us in love, redeems us in Christ, washes us with the blood of His Son, seals us with the Holy Spirit, renews us by the power of the Spirit in holiness. But you must understand, brothers and sisters, God alone is holy. And therefore, we are to take great care in using His name because He is totally other, set apart, belonging to a category all His own, shared with no one and no thing. A category of existence that we creatures cannot possibly understand because it belongs only to our transcendent Creator. When God called Moses to go back to Egypt and deliver the Israelites out of the land of bondage, Moses was struggling with this mission God's giving him there at the burning bush. Remember Exodus 3. And Moses, he asks many questions. But one of his questions to God is, when the Israelites ask me what God sent me to them to deliver them out of Egypt, what name shall I give them? God answered Moses, I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel that I am sent you. Not tell the people of Israel, I sent you. Tell the people of Israel, when they're wondering about a name, that I am sent you. God says that His personal name is I am. Our English Bibles use four capital letters, right? L-O-R-D, to represent those Hebrew letters, Y-H-W-H, possibly pronounced Yahweh. It is God's personal name based on the verb to be. I am, or to be. Well, but what does it mean? I do not know. You say, well, it's I am, isn't it, Pastor? Well, no, not exactly. Ehye is I am. I am who I am is Ehye Asher Ehye. So Yahweh's related to that, but it's not exactly I am. What does it mean? I really can't tell you. It's related to the verb to be. But I want to be very emphatic here, friends. I do not know what it means. I can assure you that there is no way for me, or for that matter, there is no way for anyone else adequately to explain what Yahweh means. But that is God's point. Not that He is whatever He says He is. Not that God can be whatever God wants to be. That's not the meaning. But that God is what God alone is. And you cannot say precisely what that is, because this is the Creator, infinite Spirit, eternal God, who exists in a category that belongs only to that being. One God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy, separate from all created things. Listen, if you know that holy God, beloved, if you know that God who reveals Himself through His words and deeds, then you know that His name alone, is holy, and that you must use that holy name with reverence and awe. Now, this goes for God's personal name, Yahweh, but let's be clear, it goes for every other name that God uses for Himself in Holy Scripture. But I said that we must also carry God's name. We must use it with reverence and awe. We must also carry God's name with reverence and awe. How do we carry God's name? Well, God's name is holy, and He puts His name on His people. You heard it this morning, if you were here, the Aaronic blessing from the end of Numbers 6, right? The Lord bless you, be gracious to you, make His face shine upon you. The very end of Numbers 6, you know what it says? God's telling Moses how Aaron is to bless the people in the name of God, but then God says, when Aaron blesses them like this, gives them the blessing, right, with raised hands, I put my name on them. We do not merely use God's name in our speaking, but we are also to carry his name at all times. That's my point. We are to be conscious of representing God in everything we do, to honor his holy name by being a holy people who reflect his holiness. He says it, right? Be holy as I am holy. Just one other scripture. You don't have to turn to Deuteronomy, but I'll just mention one other scripture there. Deuteronomy 28, that idea of God putting his name. It's actually mentioned a good number of times in the Old Testament. But here's Deuteronomy 28, verse 9. The Lord will, Yahweh, will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. That, in a nutshell, is the whole sermon tonight. You're called by his name. In the way you live, in the way you carry that name in everything you do, all other people are to know the living, holy God, because his name is on you. The third commandment calls us to have such love and fear of God that we'd speak of him always in a respectful way, that we'd all also make sure to bring honor to God's holy name in everything we say and everything we do. So from our catechism, friends, question 99, what is God's will for us in the third commandment? And the answer, listen once again, that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. In summary, now the broader principle, we must use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that we may properly confess him, call upon him, and praise him in everything we do and say. You can appreciate how our catechism moves from the narrower principle to the broader. You sense there at the end of answer 99, that broader and more positive principle entailed in the third commandment. Our duty to use God's holy name with reverence and awe in everything we do, okay? Tonight we'll want to say a little bit more along those lines, but first the negative principle, the narrower negative principle. Our duty to avoid misusing God's name in the way we speak. So my first point, friends, we are not to dishonor God's holy name by using it to advance ourselves and or hurt others, okay? We are not to dishonor God's holy name by using that name to advance ourselves and hurt others. There are all kinds of ways in which we might misuse the holy name of God. The third commandment says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What does vain mean, children? What does it mean if you take God's name in vain? Well, the word vain simply means nothing. It means nothingness, like wind, emptiness. We hear people doing it all the time, using God's name in vain. Someone is shocked and says, "Oh my God." Someone is really frustrated, blurts out the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible may not address that sort of thing, at least not explicitly. You know, somebody just kind of blurting out the name of God, one of his names. But you can be sure, friends, the third commandment most definitely forbids such language, such misuse of God's name. It seriously offends our holy God for his name to be used as a mere exclamation that does little more than express your fleeting emotions. I sure hope it's not the case, but some of you may have a bad habit of misusing God's name in this way. I have to say, I've let it slip a number of times in my own life. I'm sure you can say the same. I've heard it. I hear it in Christian fellowship at times. We must know it is very disrespectful toward God, because it shows, perhaps, that the professing Christian actually has little regard for God's name. That the professing Christian might even regard God as nobody, as if there were nothing behind the name, when in truth, He is our Creator, the ground of all being, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Isaiah 6:3. How dare anyone treat God's name as nothingness, emptiness, vanity, when all creation serves as a grand theater for the display of His glory, weightiness, a theater, all creation a theater for God's majesty and supremacy. In the Bible, we find many examples of misusing God's name. Our catechism, answer 99, mentions two or three of them. I'll just want to mention, explain what those things mean here briefly. General term is blasphemy. It means to speak disrespectfully about God or to disrespect God in the way we use His name. It's interesting, as we look through Scripture, there are usually cases, blasphemy, usually cases where somebody uses God's name in order to advance himself and or hurt someone else, as I said a moment ago. So it is to dishonor God's name by putting it in the service of our proud, hateful purposes. The Heidelberg Catechism in answer 99 tells us that we break the third commandment by cursing. Now, in our passage from James 3, we read that with the tongue we bless our God and Father, and with the same tongue we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. James 3:9. We bless God, turn right around, we curse people made in God's image. Now, the sin, partly a matter of one person saying a very hateful thing to another person. Since we are all made in God's image, we owe each other respect and love. But if I curse another human being, I'm saying I want that person to be dead, essentially. God strike you dead. That's a curse. There's a worse version of it. You know what it is. I might wish another person to suffer forever in hell. May God damn you. Horizontally, you know, human to human, very hateful speech, that should be obvious. Friends, do not miss the greater sin that obtains vertically. By cursing another person, I'm using God's holy name in the service of my attempt to exalt myself and or hurt my neighbor. Terrible blasphemy. Wicked misuse of God's name, as if I had the power or authority to make God serve my sinful wishes against my neighbor. The Catechism next mentions perjury, another form of blasphemy, perjury. This happens in a court of law, in a legal trial, where one person is to speak the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. The old way of making this oath was, so help me God. Perjury happens when, instead of testifying to the truth, the witness intentionally lies under oath in the name of God. Perjury is acting like you are using God's name in the service of truth, in the service of justice, when in reality you are using God's holy name in the service of falsehood, as if He's the devil. You appreciate how serious that is? And why do people commit perjury? Well, because they are really only concerned to protect or advance themselves, or perhaps to hurt someone else. The Catechism also mentions unnecessary oaths. Now, listen, the blasphemy in view here happens when you swear an oath to assure your neighbor that you are telling the truth, when an oath is actually not needed at all. Not in a court of law, not a matter of life or death. Only a trivial matter. Doesn't need an oath. You shouldn't have to take an oath. You shouldn't have to swear in God's name about this trivial thing. For example, you want to assure your friend that this time when you borrow her book, you will avoid marking it up and highlighting this and making notes here in the margins and, as you've done numerous times before, your friend really does not feel good about lending you another book, does not trust you, But since you really want to borrow the book, you say, look, I swear to God, I will not write in your book this time. No matter how badly you want or need the book, it is an unnecessary oath, a wicked way of dishonoring God because you misuse his holy name as a tool by which you can get what you want. But some people imagine that there are ways of swearing and cursing that do not qualify as a transgression against the third commandment. You only have to leave out the name of God, right? So if you really have to curse someone, you simply say, well, damn you. You just don't use God's name. If you really have to swear an oath, you simply say, I swear it's true. Not I swear to God it's true, I swear it's true. If you really need to blurt out some exclamation to express your emotions, you simply say, oh my gosh, or oh geez. How many alterations of the names of God, how many letters do we change before it's no longer blasphemy and so forth? Friends, I do not know how to weigh such things on the blasphemy scales. I don't actually have the blasphemy scales. I don't think such a thing exists. But if we really want to honor God's holy name, we are not going to try to figure out acceptable ways of swearing and cursing. We will not try to find loopholes in the third commandment. Moreover, as we read in answer 99, we will not be silent bystanders when we hear other people taking God's name in vain. And this is such a big deal that it gets a whole another question answer. Number 100, is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also? Listen, with those who do not do all they can to help prevent and forbid it? The answer in short, yes, indeed. God is zealous for his own name. Listen, he expects you and me, his children, in Christ Jesus, to be zealous for his holy name. If we love and fear his name, we will at times have need to defend it. If you love this country, you'll want to honor the flag. If you're at a ball game, you'll take off your hat during the singing of the national anthem. And if you take off the hat, you put it over your heart, you begin to listen to the song, the national anthem, where you're singing along, and you notice this neighbor next to you leaving his hat on, maybe just a lapse of his mind, you might politely lean over and say, your hat, please. If most of us will honor our country and flag in that way, how much more should we speak up for the honor of God and for the honor of his holy name? Numerous scriptures indicate that this is, in fact, our duty to speak out when we hear another person misusing God's name. And yes, listen, that takes courage. I don't have the time this evening to get into all of the details here. It does take courage, no doubt about it. It takes some tact. I'm definitely not suggesting that we warn every stranger of eternal damnation for blurting out, oh my God. But let's honor God's name enough to speak out when people nearby treat that name as nothing. We conclude, friends, by returning to the broader principle. Remember, the third commandment is not only addressing how we use God's name in our speech, okay, verbally how we use his name, but also how we carry his name in our living all the time, how we use our language all the time, whether we use the name of God or not, how we reflect upon him in the way that we speak, in the way that we live, in the way that we conduct all of our affairs. So that second part of answer 99, we're going to consider here briefly in conclusion. It says that the third commandment, in summary, gives us this duty. We must use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe so that we may properly confess him, call upon him, and praise him in everything we do and say. My second and last point here, we are to honor God's holy name by living always as his holy people. We are to honor God's holy name by living always as his holy people. Now, this point in our catechism is not, listen, it's not that we keep the third commandment and can pat ourselves on the back when we sufficiently honor God's name merely by confessing the true God, merely by calling on that true God in our prayers and praising this God in public worship. That's not the point. Now, all that religious spiritual activity, very important. You could not possibly honor God's name if those things were missing from your life. But the Catechism is making a very different point. We only do these religious and spiritual things properly to God's honor when we use and carry his holy name with reverence and awe in everything we do, at all times and places. James 3 has that line about cursing, which obviously relates to the third commandment. I gave that line some attention a few moments ago. But let's think about the passage more generally. This passage, James 3, is all about the kind of people God wants us to be. Holy people who are careful to use our tongues in a way that honors God's holy name. James makes it clear that Christian pastors have to be particularly careful to carry God's name with reverence and awe. We're going to be judged with greater strictness, James says. Judged, pastor teachers will be judged with greater strictness because we're called to serve God in a position that requires us officially to speak about God, to speak for God in the care of God's children. A lot of responsibility there. I tremble to think about it. But what a mockery I would make of the office, and what a mockery I would make of God's word. What a mockery I would make of God's name and of God himself. If I were to take such great care to give you people solid biblical orthodox teaching within the walls of the church building, only to leave the building and resume a life of wickedness. In practice, I'd be teaching you all to regard God's word as vanity, to regard God himself as nothing. And what a gross violation of the third commandment that would be. Of course, James is not addressing pastors alone. In fact, he says here, if you look early on in chapter 3, he says that not many Christians should become pastor teachers because we all have such a hard time already walking in holiness, which is evident in all the sinful ways we use our mouths, our speech. As Christians, we all carry God's name. You know, friends, you have to know this. Christian literally means one who belongs to Christ. And the word we bear, the name of Christ we bear as Christians, should really impress on us daily that the whole world around us should know we belong to him. Because we not only go to church, but also use our tongues always to speak the truth in love, to give people grace and encouragement, to give thanks rather than speaking all kinds of complaints and grumbling. That's the sort of language that should characterize us as Christians, those who belong to Christ. But James acknowledges that this is a very hard thing to do. You caught this, right? Notice back in our passage, James 3, verse 7. Every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. James is talking about the reality that the human tongue is untamable. You cannot get it under control. And let's not miss it. He's saying we Christians have not managed to get our tongues fully under control. And that is because we remain sinners. The tongue is simply a reflection of our hearts and minds, which still go after evil. still contain pride, and yes, hatred, still pursue what pleases us rather than what pleases God and our neighbors. We hear it in the way we use our language, and we see it in so many other aspects of our lives, which dishonor God. Let's not fool ourselves that we are lawkeepers just because we avoid verbal blasphemy. We Christians are called by God's name, and He is properly honored by us if our whole character and life and all our words and deeds are reflecting the holiness of God. Brothers and sisters, let's recognize our daily failure to honor God's holy name as we should, and let's repent of that sin. And dear saints, let's return to Jesus ultimately. Let's return to Jesus, our God and Savior, who is also that man who perfectly kept this commandment for us. In James 3, verse 2, he says that if anyone does not stumble in his language, what does James say? If you don't stumble in your language at all, you're a perfect man. Well, that certainly doesn't apply to any of us, but it does apply to Jesus, the one and only perfect man, that servant of God. Remember Isaiah 53, verse 9, that one man who never did any violence and in whose mouth was no deceit. His absolutely pure tongue, a reflection of his absolutely pure heart and mind. For he honored the holy name of his God and Father by walking in holiness and righteousness continuously without fail. Jesus fulfilled this law, this commandment in our place. And then he sacrificed himself to pay for our sins and reconcile us to God. Believe on that Savior, and God will forgive you every misuse of his name. He will forgive all your ungodliness, all that is unholy in you. More than that, by his Holy Spirit, our crucified and risen Lord will continue to wash us and renew us after his own image in true righteousness and holiness. So that more and more we Christians would be careful to carry that most wonderful name, the name above all names, Christ, to the honor of our God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.